thanking the hosts for having us here tonight and everyone for coming. Wonderful. Very happy to be here. My wife is here. My older sister is here.
Welcome.
So we have a lot of exciting times here tonight. What I'd like to do is divide our discussion into two parts. So there'll be Roman numeral number two after we finish with halacha. Roman numeral number two is giving more of a hashkafic analysis of the mitzvah and the meaning of Sfirat HaOmer. And we'll start with a halachic issue. Now, in this photocopy, the handout that you may or may not have, if you didn't get one, you can get one, you'll see that the first page looks like this, but we're going to start with what's called, you'll see a title called Shomea Ka'onev Sfirat HaOmer. And that should say page 217. I have the original here in front of me. I'm a big, gigantic fan of this three-volume set by Rabbi Yitzchak Mirsky Shlita, who happens to be a neighbor of mine and an old friend. And it's called Hegyanei Halacha. Okay, so this is the volume that covers the period of time between Pesach and Shavuot. The issue that he addresses here is what's called Shomer Ka'oner. We have a principle in Halacha that when you recite something and someone else listens and has in mind to fulfill his obligation, then he can do so. We'll try to analyze how this operates later on, but right now it's a given. And the question is, in Sfirat HaOmer, whether or not we apply this principle of Shomer Ka'oner. Is it enough that I hear you counting the Omer? Right? You say it's the 29th day of the Omer, whatever it is, and I listen, and then I'm Yotze, or do I have to count it myself? And the reason for this issue, I mean, after all, this should be a classic case of Shomer Ka'oner, is because of a Gemara in Masechet Menachot. The Gemara establishes that it says in Parshas Emor, Usfartem Lachem. And the word Lachem, the Gemara says, indicates, Shetehei Sfira L'kol Echad V'Echad. Everyone should be reciting and counting themselves. And therefore, it could be, and this is the opinion of the Levush, I'll just say a word about the Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffa, he lived about five centuries ago, and he wrote a Shulchan Aruch of his own, and in his Shulchan Aruch, he says that Sfirat HaOmer requires that you count yourself. You cannot fulfill Sfirat HaOmer vicariously by listening to someone else's Sfira. And the principle of Shomer Ka'oneh, that normally applies to any recitation, any Amira, any Dibur, is suspended with regard to Sfirat HaOmer. And why is Sfirat HaOmer the exception to the rule? I have to count myself. I can't just listen to your counting. Because the Torah says, Lachem shetei Sfira l'kol echad v'yecha. Now, based on the Levush, we could perhaps explain a minog in Yerushalayim. This is not something that we're familiar with today. It goes back about a century ago. And the minhag in Yerushalayim was that before the Shliach Tzibur made the bracha and counted the Omer, the entire Tzibur, every member of the congregation, would recite the bracha and count the Sfira on his own. And according to Levush, the reason for that minhag is because we have to be afraid. If we do it the way we do it, and the Shliach Tzibur will recite the bracha first and count the Sfira, then there might be someone in the audience who would mistakenly come to the conclusion that he could fulfill his mitzvah by applying the principle of Shomer Ka'oneh. So in order to avoid such a takala, such a loophole, what we do is we make sure that everyone counts before the Shliach Tzibur. So we have everyone counting their own Omer. However, the minhag changed. And now we have the minhag just the reverse. It's the Shliach Tzibur who will recite and count first. And then every member of the tzibur will recite his bracha and count. Why? Why do you think, if you put on your thinking caps, why do you think it wasn't such a great idea to have everyone count on their own before the Shliach Tzibur?
People said the wrong
numbers. Exactly. They might count the wrong numbers. Now, I don't know if anyone in this audience ever had such an experience where you count and you don't remember what day it is, and is it this day, is it that day? So in order to avoid that, the Shliach Tzibur... I had another suggestion. We should have just a flag or something. You know, in the old synagogues in America, sometimes in the modern synagogues, they used to have those things with the, what are they called? You know, when they put up the page numbers?
Right, yeah.
You know, that's what we should have. We should have something up there. In fact,
a teleprompter.
Rolling numbers.
amongst the Sfaradim, there's a minhag that in the morning, just in case anyone missed the sphere, they make an announcement. You know, this is the so-and-so, this is the number of the sphere. But in theory, the original minhag in Yerushalayim was that each person should count before the Shliach Tzibur, lest someone mistakenly conclude, according to Levush, and this would be a big mistake, that he could be yotze with the counting of the Shliach Tzibur.
Maybe it would be reversed, though. Maybe it would indicate that maybe there's a chashash with the Rishon HaKohanim, and he wouldn't want to be tofes the bracha with the Shliach Tzibur and then make a bracha levatala.
Correct, so he'll be yotze with the Shliach Tzibur. So this way, if we have everyone counting first, then you avoid that problem. Everyone's going to count on his own. Now, a younger contemporary of the Levush, about 4.5 centuries ago, was the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash writes that he doesn't know what the Levush is batting about. We have a principle called Shomei Ka'one, and it applies in every recitation, and there's no reason why it shouldn't apply to Sfiras HaOmer. And therefore, the Pri Chadash paskins that if you listen to someone else's counting, and you have in mind to fulfill your obligation, then Yotzi Yedei Chovasi, you fulfilled your obligation. So then the Pri Chadash says, well, wait a minute, the Gemara does say, Lachem Shetehe Sfira L'Kol Echad V'Echad. So what do we do with that Gemara? You know, the Pri Chadash can't just ignore that Gemara. See, he has a fascinating analysis. You know, this Shabbos, this past Shabbos, we read Parshas Bahar. And there's another mitzvah of Sfira in Parshas Bahar. And that's the counting of Shemitah and Yovel. And the Gemara tells us that there's a fundamental difference between the counting of Shemitah, that means 7 cycles of 7 years, and the counting of the Omer, 7 cycles of 7 weeks. And the Gemara says the following. In Parshas Bahar, in the midst of counting Shemitah v'Yovel, the Torah says v'safarta lecha, in the singular. Whereas in Emor, in the midst of Sfiras Omer, it says v'safartem lachem in the plural. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? And the Gemara has a fascinating analysis. The Gemara tells us that there's no mitzvah to count the years of Shemitah incumbent upon you, or me. It's not incumbent upon individuals. We're not going to count the years of the Shemitah. The mitzvah of counting the years of the Shemitah is incumbent upon Beit Din, on the high court. And that's the word lecha. Lecha means addressing the high court that's going to count the years of Shemitah and Yovel. What is lachem? Lachem is in Sfirat HaOmer. In contrast, in Sfirat HaOmer, it's not an obligation incumbent upon Beit Din, but rather it's incumbent upon every individual. And therefore, the Torah uses the word lachem in the plural. So the Vilna Gaon asked the following question. If you had to choose between singular and plural, then in the case of plural, you would think that that's an obligation incumbent upon everyone, and that's what you would call a chovas tzibur. And whenever we have a chova that's incumbent upon the tzibur as a tzibur, who represents the tzibur to implement that chova? Beit Din. It's going to be the Beit Din, the courts of Israel. And therefore the Gaon asks the following question. When it says lachem in Sfiras HaOmer, maybe lachem means the entire community as a community is obligated to count the Omer, and therefore Beit Din should be doing the counting on behalf of the entire tzibur, on behalf of the entire community. So the Gaon gives the following brilliant answer. Says the Gaon, when it comes to a chiv on the tzibur is one individual, one indivisible entity. There's no you, and you. It's one entity that combines and integrates the entire tzibur together into one. And therefore, the language of the singular, like lecha, is appropriate for the tzibur. But when it comes to a chiv on the yachid, it means that the Torah is addressing every single individual as an individual, and therefore, the appropriate language is lachem. And he gives a brilliant example of this, ulekachtem lachem, in the mitzvah of lulav. It says lachem, addressing every single individual, therefore the Torah employs the grammatical plural, lachem, and so too in Sfirat HaOmer. But in the case of Shemitah v'Yovel, lacha means one indivisible entity, as we said before, and that is the tzibur. Who's going to implement the chiyuv of the tzibur? It's Beit Din. So therefore, getting back to the Pri Chadosh says that the Levush is not right. We're going to apply the principle of Shomer Ka'ona to Sfirat HaOmer no less than we would apply it to any other mitzvah of Amira. Ah, you'll ask me, but the Gemara says, Lachem l'kol echad v'echad. It means l'kol echad v'echad, that it's an individual obligation. It's a chovas yachin. It's not an obligation like Shemitah and Yovel, which is on the entire tzivur. How do you fulfill your chovas yachin, your individual chiyuv? Can you do so through Shomer Ka'ona? That's a different question. And here the Pri Chadosh says we have no compunctions, no hesitations to apply the universal principle of Shomer Ka'ona. And therefore, he comes to the conclusion that Shomer Ka'ona will operate and you could listen to someone else's counting and have in mind to be Yotze through Shomer Ka'ona. Truth be told, I believe that this issue, the controversy between the Pri Chadosh on one side and the Levush on the other, really depends upon how we understand Shomer Ka'ona. And we're going to offer two definitions of Shomer Ka'ona. We'll start with Rashi and Tosfot. I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you're in the middle of your private Shmon Esrei, you're still a Shmon Esrei, the silent Shmon Esrei, the tzibur is ahead of you, and the shliach tzibur is already up to Kedusha. So what do? You can't stop in the middle of your Shmon Esrei, that would be a hefsek, to answer Kedusha, Kadosh Kadosh. So Rashi says the solution is just stop, do nothing, listen carefully to the shliach tzibur's Kedusha, don't respond, and you'll fulfill your obligation of Kedusha through Shomer Ka'ona, without having to make a hefsek. Comes along Tosfos. He says, that's not a solution at all. Because Shomer Ka'one says Tosfos Ka'one Mamish. Of course, we all know what Mamish is, right? Yes? No? Oh, only one person knows who Mamish is? Okay. Menachem Mendel Schneerson. But anyway, Shomer Ka'one means Mamish. What does Mamish mean? You are an oneh when you listen to someone reciting a bracha or an amira, or in this case, kedusha. You're considered to have recited that exact amira. And therefore, says Tosfos, you haven't solved any problem because you have a hefsek. We see here in front of our eyes two different definitions of Shomer Ka'ona. Tosfos understood that Shomer Ka'ona Mamish means it's as if you actually recited whatever you heard. It's Ka'one Mamish. And Rashi on the other hand says the following. You know what? Let someone else fulfill the mitzvah and you can link up to that person's mitzvah. Do you follow? It's like magical. You sort of hook up to his mitzvah and it accrues to you. In other words, let me say it to you this way. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik used to always differentiate between the Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyuma mitzvah. Let me explain. In the case of Tosfos, Shomer Ka'ona works with the Maisa mitzvah. The actual Amira is now transferred over to the Shomer. So when I hear your recitation, it's as if I did the Amira as well as you. The other way of understanding is that Shomer Ka'ona doesn't work Ka'ona Mamish. It's as if the Maisa mitzvah of the Amira was mine when I just listened passively. But rather it's Allah in the Kiyuma mitzvah. I can obtain and fulfill my mitzvah by hearing your recitation if I have the right kavan. So again, we have a fascinating machlokas. Now I want to tell you a story. You like stories? Back in the day, about 120 years ago, there was a great genius in the city of Vilna. His name was Rabbi Bezalel HaKohen. He was a real Kohen. And he was visiting on a trip to Italy, to a city, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it the way the Italians pronounce it, Trieste. Had anybody Italian here? No Italians? All right, so we'll just say Trieste. Anyway, he comes to the city of Trieste. They give him a red carpet treatment. He was a famous posek and a dayan. They knew he was a Kohen. And you know, amongst Sfaradim, not all, they duchen regularly on a daily basis. That's why whenever I'm in Chutzot, I try to find the Sephardic minion because I'm addicted to the Birkas Kohanim. And they come over to him, the Gabbai, and say to him, Rav Bezalel, we want you to duchen. What do you mean you want me to duchen? He goes home, he tries to figure out what do they mean. Every Kohen is going to duchen. Why did they tell him that we want you to duchen? First they told him, we want you to read the maftir. Then they told him they want him to daven musaf. The Gemara says at the end of Megillah that when you give someone the maftir, you also give him musaf to daven for the oven. So then he understood. But then they added that you're going to duchen? What does that mean? All the kohanim are duchen. And he began to come to the following conclusion. Anybody want to guess? That he was going to duchen and all the other kohanim were going to listen to his duchenin, his birchas kohanim, and they'll be yotzei through shomer kohanim. But kachav, that's exactly what happened. He guessed it right. He went up to duchen and he was the only kohen who was duchenin. All the other kohanim listened carefully and they were yotzei through shomer kohanim. And Rabbi Tzal Cohen was so excited about this. When he came back to Vilna, he said, now I understand why the Mishnah Megillah says that if they gave the Kohen to read the Maftir, which they often did, and they gave him to Davin Mosaf, they also gave him to Duchim. And he said he never understood what the Mishnah was talking about. Now he understands it. This all took place about 120 years ago. And Rabbi Tzal Cohen's contemporary was the Beis HaLevi. I don't know if you've heard of the Beis HaLevi. It was my Rebbe's great-grandfather. Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, he was the Rav in Brisk. And when he heard this story about Rabbi Tzal, he said, no go. Every Kohen has to recite Birchas Kohanim himself, personally. There's no Shomer Ka'on in Birchas Kohanim. We never knew about it, we never heard about it. And go fly to Trieste, but not here. We won't tolerate. Says the Beis HaLevi that there's a category in Amira which is called Suras Amira. Let me explain. Every Amira just requires that you recite something, but there are a few exceptions to the rule where the Torah, the Halacha, attaches to the Amira a specific requirement. The Amir has to be done in a very specific way. For example, Birchas Kohanim. The Gemara derives from the Pasuk Amar Lahem that it's not enough that the Kohen whisper his Birchas Kohanim. Lahem means they have to receive the bracha on the receiving end. And therefore the Gemara concludes in Masechtas Sota that Birchas Kohanim has to be Bekol Ram. The Kohen has to raise his voice. Says the Beis HaLevi, yeah, Birchas Kohanim could be subject to Shomer Ka'one, but it's not going to generate Kol Ram, because it's only the person who's reciting the bracha, he can achieve Kol Ram. But the other fellow, who's listening passively, he doesn't have Kol Ram. And therefore, the Beis HaLevi came to the conclusion that since Birchas Kohen requires a specific Tzuras Amira of Kol Ram, therefore, there's no Shomer Ka'on. Now, you've all heard of the Chazon Ish in the 20th century. The Chazon Ish says, I don't understand something. According to the Beis HaLevi, how can we fulfill our mitzvah of Megillah? We all come to hear the Megillah reading, and no one reads the Megillah except for the one person. So we yotze with Shomer Ka'on. But there's a halacha in Kriyas HaMegillah called Mitoch HaKsav. It's not enough just to read the Megillah. Let's say if I know the Megillah by heart, I have to read it from the Megillah. Says the Chazon Ish, then how can we be yotzei with Shomer Ka'on? Apparently, even if there is a specific Tzuras HaMira, certain requirements and qualifications, nevertheless, you could still apply the principle of Shomer Ka'on. And therefore, the Beis HaLevi is not correct. You can apply Shomer Ka'onah to Birchas Kohanim despite the fact that you need Kol Ram. I believe that this all boils down to the same issue that we raised before. If Shomer Ka'onah means that I can link up to your mitzvah, then if you fulfill the mitzvah by reciting Birchas Kohanim with Kol Ram, then I can fulfill my mitzvah by hearing it. Or if you fulfill your mitzvah of Megillah reading, Mitoch HaKsav, then I could link up magically and connect to your Kiyum HaMitzvah. But if, on the other hand, Shomer Ka'onim means Ke'onim Mamish, like Shitas HaTosvis. That means that it's if I was the owner, yeah, I was the owner, but Belachash, I was not the owner B'Kol Ram. Or I was the owner, but not Mitoch HaKsav. I'm not reading it or hearing it from a Megillah. Now, just to end up our discussion in Roman numeral.
I would say the opposite.
Go ahead.
If you're sure. Linking up to someone else's.
You're the Baal Bos, so you have to be right no matter what.
It doesn't seem like anyone's eating anything.
Yeah, you should pass it around. Maybe people are embarrassed.
If you're linking up to someone else, Shomea Kaona, I would say, okay, you only can fulfill what he's saying, but you can't do it in any sort of suras hamaisa. But if you're actually ona, I would say it's
maybe
more,
get the whole kid kabuna.
However he's saying it, however he's saying is if you're saying it.
Excellent. I'll tell you why I think that shomer ka'ona as halach in the kiyum ha-mitzvah means I'm not doing an amir at all. It's not like I'm doing an amir b'kol namuch, b'kol lachash. I'm just linking in, I'm hooking into your kiyum ha-mitzvah. You fulfill all the requirements, you achieve and obtain the kiyum ha-mitzvah. Now, through shomer ka'ona, I grab hold of your coattails and I take a ride and I get that kiyum ha-mitzvah. But if on the other hand,
well, the Tosus is saying that you're making a hefsek now in the middle of your Shmon Esrei, right? So,
because Tosus thinks it's as if it's my Amira, but it's not Kol Ram. Yeah. You know, you can't say that I yelled out. So just to swing back to the machlokas that we started with. Yeah.
Maybe by answering Amen, you link into it.
Oh, Amen is a whole different aloha. Mr. Mitzer is right. What's your first name? I'm sorry.
Hillel
is right. When it comes to Amiras Amen, that's a whole different story. Because when you recite Amen, then everybody agrees it's Kemotzei Bracha Mipiv Domi. We were talking about Shomei Koda without Amen. Like if it's not a Bracha, it's Kedusha, or it's Kriyas HaMegillah, there's no Amen. But just to wrap around our first discussion, the machlokas between the Levush and the Prichodesh about Sfiras HaOm. What is the halacha of Lachem Shetei Sfir Lekol Echad V'Echad? We can interpret it in two ways. One way could be Shetei Sfira L'Kol Echad V'Echad means that I have to count the Omer. If I have to count the Omer, then it makes sense. Wait, let me just, you know, I don't want to get this wrong, so I'm going to just read it inside the text. Just give me 1 minute. Oh, here he says the following. This is on page 223. Do you have 223 or does it go that far? I think I ran out of paper at some point. All right. So if you could just listen to Arshav Al Peh, on page 223, he writes the following in Shomer Kam. He says the following. The Pri Chadash understood that you could be yotze your obligation of Sfiras HaOmer by listening to someone else. Because the Pri Chadash had required Sfira L'Kol Echad V'Echad. And how do you achieve Sfira L'Kol Echad V'Echad? Through Shomer Ka'ona. What do you mean? I didn't count the Omer. So where's the fulfillment of Sfira L'Kol Echad V'Echad? The answer is that the Pri Chadash holds like Tosfos. And Tosfos says that Shomer Ka'ona Mamish, it's as if I recited the Sfira. And therefore I fulfill my obligation of Sfira L'Kol Echad V'Echad. However, the Levush holds that you cannot be Yotze Yor Chiyuv of Sfira Sa'omer through listening, through Shomer Ka'one, Shashomer Rak Yotze Yidei Chovas HaMitzvah. I think he's saying what we said before, that you're linking into the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Kimo Ona, he's like an owner, but he's not really an owner. He's like Rashi's definition that you link into his mitzvah. And therefore, Diburo Misyaches Elov Lotse Sidei Chovas HaMitzvah. Yes, normally his mitzvah could apply for you, even though you didn't do the mitzvah. That's Shomer Ka'ona. But here in the case of Sfartim Lachem, where the Torah says Sfir L'Kol Echad V'Echad, the Torah is saying that you cannot link up into his kiva mitzvah, but rather you have to count yourself.
How you define the Chafa Demion, that's the...
Correct. Now we're up to Roman numeral number 2. Okay, this is based on Rabbi Nassan, who was, as you know, the outstanding disciple of Rabbi Nachman, and he authored 8 volumes of Likutei Halachos. You could write a book just on his Sfiras HaOmer. And obviously, I'm not going to keep you here till midnight, so I'm going to try to focus and highlight on 2 ideas that I saw in the Likutei Halachos. One of them is on the page that I gave you. And I'm going to try to do something which I don't know if I'll succeed, and that is to connect the 2 ideas together. Why is it, ask Rabbi Nassan, and if you know, in Hasidus, Sfiras HaOmer is very, very important. It has to be said with a lot of feeling. What's so significant about Sfiras HaOmer? What's so significant about the Omer itself? The Omer was brought in the Beis HaMikdash on the 16th of Nisan. And the Omer was made of Seora. Seora, of course, is barley, and that's Michael, everyone, Behem. So it's animal food. And the Torah commands us immediately after bringing the Omer and doing what's called Tnufa, and the Kohen has to shake the Omer in all different directions. Immediately afterwards, we start counting the days of the Omer. We culminate on day number 50, which is Chag HaShavuot. The karman of Chag HaShavuot, the special unique karman, is the Shtei Alechem, which is made of what? Chita of wheat, which is Machel Adam. Rabbi Nassim wants to analyze this entire process of Sfirat HaOmer, in which we begin with the Omer, which is Machel Behema, and we culminate when we reach the apex 50 days later with the Machel Adam of the Shtei Alechem. To understand Rabbi Nassan, we'll introduce a couple of concepts that come from the Arizal from 5 centuries. One concept is called Tkufas Hayamin. Again, it's a very difficult abstract concept, but basically in the Hasidus or the Kabbalah of the Arizal, the year is divided into 2 halves. One half starts in Tishrei and the other in Nisan. And Tishrei is called Tkufas HaShanim. Nisan is called Tkufas HaYom. Now these are abstract concepts. What do they mean? There's time as we know it down on earth. And that's finite time, limited time. We are finite material beings, and we live within the constraints of time. And that's called Tkufas HaShon. But when we get to Nisan, which is called Geula and Redemption, we rise up to a whole different level of time, which is called Tkufas HaYomim. And there we're able to connect to infinite time, something that's above Zman. It's no longer limited. It's not restricted. It's not finite. It really refers to the time of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is on high. God is not in any way constrained by time. Concept number 2 is the concept of Dorei Mala and Dorei Mata. If any of you daven Nusach Sfarad, then the Kedusha of Musaf is all about Dorei Mala and Dorei Mata, which literally, it loses a lot in translation, those who have an abode up in the heavens and those who have an abode down on earth. But what it really means is that man is pulled in 2 directions. On the one hand, he's pulled down to his physicality. On the other hand, he has an aspiration to go higher and higher and reach what's called Dorei Mala. The ultimate achievement, which is called Shleimut, perfection, is to connect the 2. But it has to begin with Dorei Mata. And this leads us to another terminology, which is very famous, I'm sure you've all heard of it, from the Arizal, which is called Isarusa Dilatata. So what happens? God takes us out of Egypt. We have no We have no merits. We don't deserve it. We reach the lowest level, halol avodah yazarah, etc. And God, in total benevolence, with absolute chesed, takes us out of Mitzrayim. We don't deserve it at all. But Hashem says, now the shift and the burden is on you. You have to now begin to deserve that ha'orah, that supernal light that came down as a gift from Shemayim. And the process begins with the Omer. The Omer represents that lowest level that we've reached, which is called Michael Behema, which is called Siora, the Balin. And that is the lowest level. Rabbi Nosson, an aside, by the way, he says something fascinating. He says that in the Seder at night, on Pesach night, we start with the Yerek, the Yerakot, and then we get to the Matzah. Yerek is Michael Behema, and the Matzah is Michael Odom. But okay, that's just on the side. In any event, what is our goal, starting with the day of Sfiras HaOmer? It's to climb up, to ascend, day by day. And when we climb that ladder, we are bridging between the Omer, which is Michael Behema, and the Shteil Lechem, which is Michael Odom. When we succeed, each and every one of us individually, in creating that climb, that is Arusa Dili'ela, then what happens is there's a parallel mirror image Isarusa Dili'ela. So we start with the Isarusa Dilatata. Down here on earth, we rise and elevate ourselves to a higher level until finally in Lamala, which is called Darimala, the Darimala element comes down and we get to a meeting point. I would call it an integration, which is called Shleimut. That's the perfect level when you can integrate Dore Mata with Dore Mala. However, says Rabbi Nosson, this was feasible at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when we started with the Karban HaOmer, and the Kohen would take the Omer and shake it and wave it in all directions, indicating that we have to find godliness in all directions, and then gradually lead up to Chag HaShavuos, 50 days later, when we reach the level of Dari Mala, and that's going to be the carbon of Chag HaShavuos, the Shteil Lechem. But now we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So how are we going to achieve going from the Omer to the Shteil Lechem in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash? And he says that this process, which is our mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, after we count the Sfira, we recite HaRacham Anu Yachzir Lonu Beis HaMikdash Umkoma. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So what do we have instead? So Rabbi Nosson takes us back to Geula Mimitzrayim. Vayaminu Bashem Uve Moshe Avdo. What is the significance, he asks, of Vayaminu B'Moshe? I understand Vayaminu B'Hashem. We believe in the Almighty. But what does it mean we believe in Moshe? And Rabbi Nosson says that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to teach us one phenomenal and fundamental lesson. And he's going to teach us this lesson over and over and over again throughout the 40 years in the Midbar. When Vayenasu Osi Eser Pa'amim, we challenge Moshe Rabbeinu and Almighty God 10 times. And on every occasion, Moshe Rabbeinu, with his compassion, his love for the people of Israel, is going to stand up and pray on behalf of Hatzolah to save the Jewish people to such an extent that he declares, Mecheni na misifrecha. If you don't accept the Jewish people, wherever they are, erase me from your book. What does Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Jewish people? What is his message? And this is the most profound message that a leader in Israel can convey and transmit to the people. It's called Melo Chol Haaretz Kvodo. The entire universe is saturated with the glory of God. Wherever you are, even if the Jewish people reach the lowest level, in Mitzrayim, it was Memtesh Shari Tumah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, yes, God is with you. Even if you reach the level of Chet HaEgel and Chet Meraglim and all the Nisyonos, even if a person reaches Sha'ol Tachtis, the lowest level, he gets involved Nebuch in Pgam, in sin, he can still raise himself up. God is with you. Les Asar Ponimine, there's no place where God is absent. And in the presence of God, you get that His Orus, that inspiration, you feel God is with you. You can't get involved in sin in the presence of God. A Jew might think, well, I've sinned and I've crossed all bounds. I've crossed the red lines. I've gone too far away from Hashem. How could I possibly have a chance to get back on the track? I'm lost. I'm confused. The barriers are too tantamount. I can't overcome them. And the Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of Israel, comes to say, no, no, no. Melo kol ha'aretz kvodo, Hashem is with you wherever you are. You could be as far removed. You could be out there after you finish the army and you're somewhere with a guru in India and God is there with you. And we've had stories and you've heard them of Bali Tshuva. Nobody knows exactly what inspired them when they're out there in who knows where, so far away. But that's the message of Melo kol ha'aretz kvodo. And the first lesson of Sfiras HaOmer is that the leaders of Israel will teach us and inspire us to believe in ourselves, to believe that Melo kol ha'aretz kvodo, and that we can elevate ourselves and climb from the Machal Behema, which we no longer have the carbon, we have the concept of Machal Behema, in which we reach that low level, all the way up to Michael Adam, so that the Dorei Mata can inspire a parallel relationship of Dorei Mala. The Dorei Mata receive a Ha'ara, some sort of a light and a strength and an inspiration. They get involved in tefillah and davening, in Maisim Tovim and good deeds, in the study of Torah. All this is going to inspire them, the Dorei Mata, to reach a higher level. Until finally, at the end of this process, Vayered Hashem al Ahar, the Shechina comes down on the mountain of Sinai and gives us the Torah. That's the Dorei Mala coming down to reach and to meet the Dorei Mata and create one Shleimut and one entity. I want to end with another piece that I found in a different section of Rabbi Nosson, and I want to relate it to what we said just now. Rabbi Nosson says, remember we started tonight with the word lachem, usfartem lachem, and Chazal interpret the word lachem as li'atzmechem. How do you translate that? Count for yourselves. What does that mean? Okay, I count for myself. Rabbi Nosson says that this is a most profound lesson. Do you know what it means to count for yourself? Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't start comparing yourself to someone else. Start convincing yourself that Yenem, the next one, is greater than I am. He's greater at tefillah. His avodah is superior. Everything he does is wonderful. And where am I? Says Rabbi Nosson, that attitude is poison. It's venom. Get it out of your system. Li'atzmachem. Count for yourself. See what you can do in Dorei Mata. God challenges you based on what you are, your own personality. Chazal say, Avram Hoya Echad. What does it mean, Avram Hoya Echad? A pasuk in Tanakh. Avram understood that he was alone. God had given him the challenges and the abilities, the capabilities and the potential, and Avram realized that potential. He didn't compare himself to anyone else. And that's the concept of Sfira Li'atzmachem. A person has to be happy with what they have, with themselves, with their own potential, and it's got to be Sfartem Lachem. As we said, I'm not counting your sphere. I'm not wearing your garments. I'm not achieving what you can achieve. I don't compare myself. Who knows who's greater than anyone? Do we have the ability to judge and evaluate? I've got to live up to my potential. Remember the story, Zusha. Why weren't you Zusha? You don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to wear guises and imitations. You're the real thing, as we say in Coca-Cola. Don't worry about someone else. Be yourself and rise to the occasion. Yiratzo may it be his will that each and every one of us should take the meaningful lessons of Sfiras HaOmer to heart. We should understand that God gave us an amazing opportunity of Dorei Mata to rise, to elevate, to climb higher and higher during these days of Sfira. To go from Michael Behema, but it's always Moloch HaLaretz Kvoda, Hashem is with us wherever we turn. And we should be challenged by Li'atzmachem. No comparisons. We do it on ourselves, we achieve our own great things. And if we live up to those challenges of Yirtzeh Hashem, then we'll fulfill what it says, Vayered Hashem al Ahar, will be Zoche to Kabbalah Satorah on the 50th day when we reach that level in which the Shekhinah, the Dorei Mala, will come down to meet together and integrate with Dorei Mata Kein Yi Ratzon. Amen. Amen. Thank you again for being with me tonight and for the host for having us here tonight. Jonathan, very good. Okay,